This is an interview with Professor Everett G. Jackson, retired professor of art from 1930 to 1969. This interview is being conducted on August 27, 1992, at his home in San Diego, California. The interviewer is Michael Milligan for the John and Jane Addams Mini Grant.
In cooperation with the Special Collections Department of the Love Library at San Diego State University, San Diego, California. And within the house, you can still see that he is painting. The home overlooks Mission Valley, and in itself is an art museum.
The column of Dr. Harkin wrote, Mr. Fabenmar came every day, came to Mr. Harkin. Mr. Harkin wrote, Fabenmar went to Dr. Harkin Road and told him his symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd have that.
It would.
They were both my friends.
He's a fascinating man. He has Parkinson's disease now.
Oh, had to be ready.
Yes. But he's still up and getting around. And
that's Pabenmeier.
Right. Kingsley Pabenmeier.
If you see him again, give him my best regards.
Oh, I definitely will. Definitely will. Okay, I prepared some questions that after doing a little research. Basically, the question I'm going to ask is dealing with San Diego State.
And you're going to have to little talk loudly. Okay. I have two hearing aids. You think I could hear you. $1,700 worth of hearing aids in my ear.
All right. Most of the questions are going to deal with San Diego State because that's what we're interested in.
Yeah.
Why did you transfer from Texas AMA to San Diego State?
Well, it was, I didn't do that.
Oh, okay.
Actually, when I left Texas A&M, I went to the Art Institute in Chicago.
Oh.
And after I left the Art Institute in Chicago, I came out to San Diego because I had a case of a strep throat. Mm-hmm. And in those days, it didn't have antibiotics. It was pretty bad. So I picked up a little magazine one day and opened it, a little art magazine, and it said, come to sunny San Diego, where the sun shines every day. And I said to myself, well, maybe that's where I ought to go. So I left Chicago and came out to San Diego. There was a little art school here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I happened to come to San Diego.
Mm.
And then when I left San Diego, I didn't stay long. I went to Mexico. I got in touch with a friend of mine whom I had known in the Art Institute. And I suggested to him that we go to Mexico to try to see if we could learn to paint. And he said, fine. I said, all right, meet me in my hometown in Texas, which he did. And when I left San Diego, I went back to my hometown where he met me. He and I went up into the Burro Mountains of northern Mexico. Camped out near a Kickapoo Indian village and trying to paint up there. And so we decided while we were up there, I guess, that we better go down and see the interior of Mexico. So he and I went back to East Texas where my parents, my family had an old plantation home back in East Texas. We went back then and spent a few months until we could save up some money, and then we went to Guadalajara.
Mm.
And from Guadalajara, we went down to Lake Chapala.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed two or three years. And then eventually, I came to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And after I came back, well, I might as well tell you this, not skip too much. When I was out in San Diego the first time, I met the girl who later became my wife.
I know. I have a picture here.
And while all the time I was in Mexico, he was writing to his folks, I guess, and I was writing to her. That's right.
She was
you saw her up there.
You got lucky.
Yeah.
You got lucky here. Look at this picture. You sly guy.
What?
She's very beautiful.
Yes, she was. So when I went down to Mexico, I couldn't get her off my mind.
I can understand that.
So I wrote to her, and she wrote to me, and finally I would go up to the University of Arizona to see her. She was then going to the University of Arizona. Finally, I persuaded her to join me and go back to Mexico with me, which she did.
All right.
So we went back and stayed another year down there. And then we came back to my hometown in Texas. And from there, we came out to San Diego, the two of us, married. And I figured, well, I better figure out some way to make a living.
Was this during the Depression?
So I found that I needed a few units before I could have a degree. Mm-hmm. And I went out to state and got the degree. They gave me credit for what I had from Texas A&M and also from the Art Institute in Chicago, and didn't take me long to make a degree. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I had an offer of a job in Texas, a college in Texas, Alpine, Texas. That was the state teacher's college. In fact, I went there one summer and taught. Then later I came back. From there, we came back to San Diego, and I got a job teaching at San Diego State. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, it was a wonderful place in West Texas, up in the Davis Mountain. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to live there, but because my wife was from here. Mm-hmm. And I got a letter one day. After I got a job at San Diego State, I got a letter from that college in Texas offering me a job there. So I said, well, I'll go and see Dr. Hardy about this. Dr. Hardy said, well, how much did they offer you? And I told him, he said, I'll raise your salary. So I decided to stay in San Diego.
That's great. Yeah, one of the questions I have pertains to Dr. Hardy in that...
Dr. Hardy was the professor, was the president when I started teaching there in 1930.
You taught through three presidents' administrations.
Pardon?
You taught through three presidents' administrations, Hardy, Heppner, and Love.
Yeah, Hardy, Heppner, and Love.
Do you have any comment on differences in their administration? Do you remember the...
Well, Dr. Hardy was certainly a wonderful professor, wonderful president, and so was all of them were good.
Uh-huh.
But Dr. Hardy and Dr. Love are very, very popular with the students and the faculty. I don't want to say anything against Heppner. He was all right, too. But they were really very, very popular, Dr. Hardy. Dr. Hardy was very popular with his faculty, and they just loved him, and also with the students. But same is true of Dr. Love. I think Dr. Heppner was... I don't think the students maybe knew him as well as they knew Dr. Hardy. Anyway, they were three wonderful presidents. I worked with all three of them.
Why do you think the socialization by the faculty died out?
Pardon?
The socialization, the...
I don't think I know what that word means.
You guys seem to have more of a camaraderie. What? During more togetherness during the 30s, 40s, and 50s than they do now.
Well, don't you think it might be because of the fact that we were smaller back then? Mm-hmm. When you're in a big institution, lots of students, you're not going to be able to know all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But in those early days, there weren't so many members of the faculty nor students, and everybody knew everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend that we have smaller colleges.
It's going to be that way pretty soon.
That's too bad, isn't it?
It is. It's hurting. What was it like to teach one of the first pre-Columbian art classes in the United States?
The reason I taught that class, one day the dean came over to see me, that Dean Peterson, and asked me if I would give a course in pre-Columbian art, in Mexican art. And I told him I'd be glad to do it, but I would like to put it off about a year until I could prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's fine. So I began to study with the thought of teaching such a course. And also made trips into all the major ruins in Mexico with that course in mind. Mm-hmm. That's why I taught it.
Mm-hmm.
Although while I lived down in Mexico, I became very interested in the pre-Columbian cultures. In fact, my wife, when I took her down there, one of the things she did was go out and dig up
artifacts.
Artifacts.
Oh, back then it was
a matter of fact. She had a whole suitcase full of artifacts, pre-Columbian figurines and so forth. When we went to live in Mexico City, and I remember once she had all my shirts hanging on the line in the backyard of our house in Coyoacan, and a burglar came in and not only took my shirts, but took her suitcase full of pre-Columbian figurines.
Oh, no!
So I thought, that's too bad to lose all your figurines. And a few days later, in the night, the burglar brought the suitcase back. He opened it and saw it was nothing he wanted, so he brought it back.
Good for him! Didn't know what he had.
Yeah.
What was,
well, I guess I did start one of the first courses of that sort in the country, I guess. Yeah.
What was the main goal of the course? What was the main theme?
Pardon?
What was the main theme of the course, do you remember? You were breaking new ground, I'll tell you that.
Well, my main idea was to acquaint the students of what had happened down there in that part of the world, especially with art, in art, sculpture, especially sculpture and architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I continued my interest in that and continued to study especially the sculpture. My last book is mostly about pre-Columbian sculpture, Maya sculpture.
I meant to bring some of those along. I'm sorry, I didn't.
I tell you, somebody you ought to interview is Dr. Rogers. Dr. Spencer Rogers.
I think, I don't know if he's still alive.
Oh, yes, he's alive.
And he is going to be interviewed.
Yes, he is indeed. He is alive.
Yeah, okay. He his department's being totally eliminated, anthropology.
Yeah, his was anthropology.
Yeah, and they're currently it's being eliminated.
Isn't that amazing?
It's sad. I asked Dr. Crouch recently, who had talked to Dr. Rogers about that, what he felt, and the comment I got back was he felt violated.
Yeah, that's terrible. He's a great scholar. He's written many, many books.
He's internationally known.
He's a world-renowned scholar.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll read about him in one of my last books.
Okay.
Have you seen that book?
No, I'm guilty I have not. Mm-hmm. But I will probably...
I call it Four Trips to Antiquity.
Yeah.
I gave it to the college.
Yeah. I got a brochure here.
Yeah, I gave it to the college. In fact, I'm working on another book I may give to the college.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
And Venture to Antiquity.
Yeah, I made that drawing.
It's beautiful. Have you currently seen down there at the Museum of Man, the Mayan?
Pardon?
They're recreating at the museum. I think it's the Museum of Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Recreating Mayan and Aztec art. They've got one of these full size up in there, and
well, they've got a lot of things from Quirigua.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I've been to Quirigua several times.
So, all right, let me ask here some.
Speaking of Dr., you said, is he alive? About 2 weeks ago, I answered the phone, and somebody on the phone said, Dr. Rogers has gone. And I said, what do you mean, has gone? Who is this speaking? And the guy hung up. Well, I called up John Dirks and told him about it, and we called up Dr. Rogers, found he hadn't gone at all, but I was shocked.
Like Mark Twain quote, you know, the announcement of my death is greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, that was true. But anyway, it certainly frightened us.
You're right, he is alive.
But you know what I think happened? Dr. Rogers doesn't hear very well. In fact, he's like me. He only words, I think. So he decided to call me on the phone, and I think he said, Dr. Rogers is on.
Oh.
And I thought he said he's gone. So when I answered, was so excited and worried when I answered him that he couldn't hear, so he hung up. So I told his wife a short time ago that she can get a machine to fit onto the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping she's got that for him.
Yes, we'll have to. I've got so many people to do. I've got to hurry up and do it before something does happen. Because once you're gone, I can't.
Forever.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do you remember the debate about the three different locations from moving from the normal school? There was a debate either going to Pacific Beach, the Mesa, or Balboa Park for the State College. Do you remember anything?
Well, I don't think they could go to Balboa Park, could they?
No, that was one of the fears. Yeah, that was part of the debate. I remember that.
Well, I certainly remember when we moved.
Yeah. What was that like?
I was teaching up here.
Normal school? Yeah,
right up there. I was teaching. The building this side is still there. That was the art building.
Yeah.
That's why I started teaching, as a matter of fact. And I remember the faculty there, Dr. Adams was there then. NASA chair, I think, maybe. But anyway, I don't remember that day. I do remember the fact that they did debate on where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought this was the wrong place to go.
Yes.
But I suppose it turned out all right, hadn't it?
Well, Pacific Beach wouldn't have been a bad place for a university. It was supposed to be out here where, I guess there was a military school out there.
Mm-hmm.
But there, I guess there was some property that was being donated.
Well, I certainly remember when we moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the move like?
Well, it was pretty smooth.
Okay.
It really was. but this campus was really torn up. I painted a mural showing the student and the torn up campus, so forth. And it's on a stairway that goes down from the library down into the basement where the art department was then. And that mural might, it's a fresco. It may be there under something yet. In fact, I think I told one of my faculty, Lowell Hauser, that he could paint his picture on top of it.
Okay.
And I think maybe he did, but he didn't cover it. He put a maybe a board over it and then painted a mural on top of that. That's probably there. And underneath that board that holds this mural that Hauser did, you'd find my murals showing the campus when we first moved to it.
Yeah. Was there a lot of wildlife and stuff still out there on the campus, do you remember?
Well, some rattlesnakes.
Okay. That made it interesting.
I killed rattlesnakes right behind the art building.
Wow.
Yeah, two or three.
Gad. Did you guys do a lot of field trips? Did you take it to outdoor?
Yeah, going out painting.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go?
Down the hill. Just now it's a highway. Yeah. It wasn't a highway then. It was just a dirt road there. And you go down the hill a little further and you come to beautiful big boulders and a creek.
Adobe Falls?
Water. Adobe Falls, that's right. Yeah. We used to go down there and paint. Yeah.
Man, that's... must have been some loss. Everybody talks about it.
You get killed crossing the highway now.
You have to dig up the highway to find it. When you guys moved to the new location.
Pardon?
When you moved to the new location, how did you get there? There were no roads out there yet, were there?
Well, you know, you go through East San Diego to get there, out El Cajon Boulevard. El Cajon Boulevard was there.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it a paved road or dirt?
Sure, it was a paved road.
But you come up El Cajon, you've got about three blocks before you go into the university.
Yeah.
You know, that's up, down, up,
what's
down.
What's the name of that street?
College Avenue.
What?
College.
College Avenue, yeah. Yeah, that's the way we went out there. We didn't go through the valley to get there.
No. There were no roads back then.
I used to go out there for a long time. I'd go out that El Cajon Boulevard. I remember I was going out there one morning early. I always liked 8 o'clock classes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big sign along the side of the road that said, "You not only live, but you live longer in East San Diego." And I was interested in that. One day I went through there, a short time afterwards, and students, some State College students, had written across the bottom of it, "It just seems longer."
What did you enjoy most? What did you enjoy most about teaching?
Well, I think the students.
Uh-huh.
If there were no students, I wouldn't have been liked to teach.
This is true. This is true. Were there any? Did any students come to your mind that really stand out?
Oh, sure, lots of them. Lots of them. As a matter of fact, the other day I was invited to a luncheon in the Rotary Club, and there was a whole table there full of my former students, some of them way back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have any of them...
Japanese students, some of my favorites were Japanese.
During the war, too? I mean, were they...
Before the war.
Before the war?
During the war, they were taken away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to have some Japanese students before the war. I had one... that turned out to be a Japanese spy.
Remember her name or his name?
Shimada.
Shimada.
What he was doing all that time was making pictures of all of our dams.
Smart guy.
Yeah. So he came by here one day and before the war to tell me goodbye, and I told him we were about to, we were having trouble, of course, at that time, but no war yet. I told him if he went back to Japan and he went to war, I said, you remember where this house is, and don't you bomb me. He said he wouldn't. Well, it turned out he really was an officer in the Japanese Navy.
My goodness. They had this plan for a long time. Jeez. Did any of them, I'm sure some of them did, but do any of them strike out that became artists? Like you?
Pardon?
Have any of them become famous artists?
Well, some of them have been successful.
I shouldn't say famous. I take that back. Become successful artists.
Yes. A number of my students have become successful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, one of them was a Japanese girl. She became a very, quite a famous costume illustrator and illustrator in New York.
Remember her name?
Let's see if I can remember. Her name was Toshiko Kojima.
Oh, Kojima.
Toshiko Kojima. She became very, quite famous. And of course, another student of mine that I is still a wonderful artist and well recognized in the art world. Her name is Martha Alf, ALF. She still exhibits widely.
The art department itself is you built up. I mean, it is setting a state during the 60s and 70s because of what the foundation you set down became one of the best art schools on the West Coast.
What did you say?
San Diego State, the art department, during the 60s and 70s became one of the best art departments on the West Coast.
Yes, I think so.
Large because of who you brought in.
Yeah, I brought in some very fine teachers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you find these people?
Well, I didn't find them the way I was supposed to. That is to say, instead of looking over a lot of papers and approaching it from that point of view, I went to friends of mine and asked if they knew some good teacher. For instance, I was dancing with a woman in the Coronado Hotel one night, and she was a faculty member of UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I had great confidence in her. And I said, do you happen to know, I'm looking for a wonderful printmaker. And she said, yes, I know just the fellow for you. That's the way I got my people.
Wow.
When I wanted somebody to teach something, I would go to somebody that was very well known in that field, and I happened to have friends who were, and they would tell me that they thought that this is the man you ought to have,
mm-hmm.
instead of reading a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way I chose him.
It worked well.
And I chose John Dirks, the sculpture. He was in my life. He was one of my students.
Mm-hmm.
He was in my life class. I used to go around and look at what he was drawing. I'd have a beautiful nude model on the stand. I'd go around and look at John Dirks' drawing, and it looked as though he'd drawn a chair. So I later needed a furniture designer. And I figured he'd be just the man for that. And he taught a course in furniture design.
I wish I'd take that. I do that on the side.
As well as sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a wonderful department, and I suppose it's good yet.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. Provide well. It's going through. It's cuts now too.
My last book, I gave to the art department. The proceeds from it. Every time they sell a book, it goes to the art department.
Well, they can use it right now. The whole university's
touched. Yeah.
Well, let me finish up with that question.